Okay, who was around in 1995 to watch a movie? Some of us. Okay. I was there. There was a movie called Braveheart. Yes. Awesome movie. Where's that face? It's an awesome movie. Unfortunately not for children really, but if you're an adult you can go and watch it. But there's a speech that this young man, William Wallace, it's the English versus the Scottish, it's about Scottish independence. And there's a guy called William Wallace, and Mel Gibson was the actor that played him. And then they do this speech just before there's a battle. They need to fight for the independence of Scotland. In a way, they're already free, but they have to fight. And they're fighting this huge army of thousands of English that's going to come against them, and they are just completely outnumbered. And then the guy does a speech, and I just want to read a few words from it. But, and he says, "You have come to fight as free men, and free men you are. What would you do without freedom? Will you fight?" And the reason why he's saying is because the English are coming against them, they have a choice. They can either fight for freedom, or they can go home. And the guy says in the crowd, he says, "Fight against that? No, we will run and we will live. Because we don't fight, we live." And then he goes on, he says to the guy, "Yes, you will run, but you're only going to live a little bit longer, because you're still going to be under oppression. They're going to still come and hunt you down, and you're still going to die. So you have a choice today. You can either fight or you can run, but it's your choice, and you're fighting for your freedom." And, you know, we have that awesome freedom through Christ, through the cross. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. If I can get my own slides to move. True freedom. I want to talk about true freedom. We all have choices. In life, if you're obedient to the rules of law, then you have freedom. You have a choice. You can go and buy, you can go to the shops. You can go and see your grandmother, visit your grandmother. You can do things. You can go to the beach. You can go and climb up Table Mountain. You have choices. But if you don't abide by the rules of the law of the country, you're going to find yourself at some point in time in jail. And then your freedom of movement is fairly restricted to a 6x6 cell. And they tell you when you move. You can't decide on a Sunday morning you're going to go to the beach instead of going to church or something like that. Because you only have one choice where they tell you to go. And freedom is very valuable. And we think about it only really when we lose it. Because when you're sitting in jail and you talk to somebody that's in jail or was there, he'll tell you that's terrible to sit there and not have the freedom, not have the choice, to make a choice. Because you don't have a choice. You're sitting and you're stuck in a rut. And it's the same spiritually. Some of it depends on where we come from. And Jesus comes and he sets us free. And we are free indeed. And we'll go through the scriptures now. But then we also have a choice. And sometimes through bad choices or the things that's gone that happened in the past, we end up sitting in a type of a jail cell ourselves. And we are not as free as we should be. Because Jesus paid an awesome price. He paid with his life so that we can be free. I want to start off with Romans 8 verse 1. It says, "There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ." No condemnation. And I'm going to read the rest. I'm going to quickly jump to the next one, because Colossians 2:13, he says, "He has made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." And the reason why I'm reading this is because twofold things. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. I don't know if you realize that. You're not going to be perfect this side of eternity. We're all going to miss the mark at sometime. But if we are in Christ, there's no condemnation. If we are in Christ, whatever sin we do, we can go to God and ask him for forgiveness. And like the word says in Colossians, it's literally nailed on the cross and it doesn't count against us. Jesus paid for it. He's paid for it. And so keep that sort of in the back of your mind. And then what does it mean to be free? So I just went to the Oxford Dictionary just to give us some good English definitions. It's up there. So if you are free, you're able to act as you wish, not under the control of another. Think about the jail cell out in the free world. In the jail cell, you don't have that much freedom. Not or no longer confined or imprisoned. If you're free, you're no confined or imprisoned. Not subject to or affected by something undesirable. So it is all talking about the fact that you are under the control of somebody else and you are doing things you don't want to do and going places where you don't want to be. That's really the opposite of being free. So if you're not subject, then you're free of those things. So I want to spend a bit of time on this scripture. It's probably the main scripture. John 8, 31 to 35, roundabouts. We're going to read through it. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So he's talking in the temple or the treasury. If you read a bit, that's just a couple of verses before that. He's talking to these guys. He's preaching to them. And then some of them actually believe him. And it says here, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So they were listening to him and they were believing what he was saying. And he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. And how can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. It's beautiful verses. If you think about the time that they are living in, this is now before the cross. Jesus is talking to them, and he's suddenly saying to them, you can be free. That's like a revolutionary at the time. Nobody else had this message. You know, Jesus was the first time one that brought this message. This is the first time they heard this. You can be free. And their first thoughts, and the Jews, what they're saying is, you know what, that we are Abraham's descendants. So, you know, we've never been in bondage. Why can you say that we are free? And it's interesting to note, if you think about the Jews back in Jesus' day, under whose control were they when they said this? Under the Romans. So do you think they were under bondage? And they just came out of, you know, so many things. You look at Egypt and they were in exile in Babylonia and every other place, almost every other kingdom throughout after the Egypt. So they're not talking here then. Clearly, they cannot be talking about the fact that they're under oppression. The only thing that can refer to is the fact that they're saying that spiritually, they're not under bondage. Because they can't talk about the natural. It's not a natural thing. Because they have been under bondage naturally for ages. So what they're actually talking about is their spiritual. And they're saying to Jesus, you know what, Jesus? You're saying, you know, we can be free. But we've never been under bondage. We've never been under spiritual bondage. And if you look at our lives, that's sort of the first thing that the devil gets us on, is the fact that we don't acknowledge and we can't see where we are bounded, where we are stuck in a rut, where we are deceived in a sense, or we're captured by something and we're not following God to the fullest extent of what he desires us to follow him. And the same with these guys. They were saying to Jesus, actually, you know what, we're actually fine. We don't need to be free because we are already free. You know, Jesus saying that, you know, I came for those who are sick, not those who are healthy, you know. So it's important for us too in this time we are living in to really go to God and really know what's going on in our hearts and really know what God is saying to us and what God wants to achieve for us in our lives. Then obviously Jesus is also, he's saying now to them, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You've all heard that scripture. You've all heard that the truth first hurts you and then it sets you free. You've all heard that one as well. So, but the thing that I really want us to just focus on in a few seconds is Jesus saying, if you, there's a condition. There's the truth shall make you free, but there's a precondition to that. You know, there's so many things in the Bible. There's ifs. God says, if you do this, then I'll do this. If you do this, then this will happen. And we sometimes forget about the ifs. It's like gravity. Gravity is there, and you forget about gravity unless you jump out of a plane and the parachute doesn't open up. Then you're suddenly very aware of gravity. But for the most part, you just live along and you don't think about it. And the same thing with the instructions. And Jesus says very often in the Bible that we need to listen to him, we need to follow him, we need to do what he's telling us. If we don't listen, if we don't do, then we are not his disciples. We need to listen and we have to do. And if we abide in his word, then Jesus says, then you are my disciples, and then you shall know the truth. So it's very important for us in this age that we are living in to really spend time in the word of God, because that's part of our inheritance. That's the way we get free. That's the way we get the truth. And if we have the truth, we are going to be set free. Because there are many voices in this world, many people saying many things, but who is our primary source? God and his word, not other people's opinions. So you need to spend time in God's word. You need to have a understanding of God's word. When somebody asks you a question, you must answer it because you know the answer, not because in your heart and you actually understand it. It's not just it's like a test, biology test. You know, there's a little flower and it's called a petal and whatever. I can't remember all the parts of a flower. And I would just read, just telling the parts. You just say these are the parts. But actually understanding a whole flower and how it works, the whole tree, there's a lot more to just the facts. The word is a lot more than just the facts. We need to understand it. And that is really what he's talking about. If you look at this abiding word in the Old King James, it's actually translated as continue. It says, if you continue in my word. So there's two things. You need to abide. You need to stay in the word. You want to remain in the word. And you need to continue in the word. So in that word, there's actually two meanings. The one is read it. The other one is do it. Read it and do it. Like one, verse one. You know that one? Just do it. Then I just want to go on. So Jesus says to him, most assuredly, I say to you, that's verse 34. Sorry, Darby, at the back. I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. So Jesus is very, very smart. He understands his audience very well, and they've just told him that Abraham, they descended from Abraham, and there's no bondage there. And he's very smart, and he says to them, you know what, if you are a... He says to them, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. So that's also news for them because they don't understand that. That's the first time they've heard that. But the other one is, he says, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. I don't know if you remember, but back in the day when Abraham was, he had the two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. So Ishmael, at some point in time, he was kicked out of the house because he was not really a son in the house like a son, because he was not following the father. He was kicked out. And he's actually referring to that in here, because they knew the Old Testament. So when he says a slave is not abide, and when he said that, they would have immediately remembered back what the Bible is saying, the fact that Abraham kicked out Ishmael. But the thing is here, and it's to do with our identity. And for some of us, it's easy to know our place in God, to know our place in Christ, to know that we are sons and daughters in God's heart and in his kingdom. And for some of us, it's a bit of a struggle. But if we have to make that transition from being a slave to a son, because a slave obviously doesn't have any choice. And we're not talking about being a slave of God in the sense of being bondservant of God, because we are that too, but just being a slave in the house rather than a son in the house. A son in the house owns the house and stays there, and it's right, and he's got inheritance. A slave just works. And when he dies, there's no inheritance. There's no legacy. And God really wants us to, in our lives, to leave a legacy, not just to slave away and do things repetitively day after day, but really that there be a legacy, that whatever we do creates change. And Jesus goes on there in verse 36, and he says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's really the invitation that he gave even on that day when he spoke to them, to say, listen here, you know what? What he's actually saying there, we could have just changed the word slightly and says, you know what? If you want freedom, come to me. If you want to be free, come to me. Because I can do that. I can give you freedom, and you shall be free indeed. Just want to see what I've missed. So true freedom comes through accepting Christ through faith. We all understand that. Like we said before, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But if you're not in Christ, you're already condemned. We understand that. So freedom comes through accepting Christ, first of all, through faith. We must be saved. And then abiding in His Word, continuing in His Word. And if we abide then in His Word, then the truth will make us free. It's like a logical conclusion. So one of the big components, obviously, here is getting to know Christ. And Jesus Jesus died for us to give us freedom. And like the movie, in the movie, if you watch the Braveheart movie, you'll see that they put a price, they put a premium on the fact that they can be free, that they can run their own country. And the same with us. We don't always think about it, but we are free. God has paid a massive price. Jesus died for us on the cross so that we can be free, so that we can do whatever God has called us to do. And so often there are things that are holding us back. And Nas, you talked about it, and Lindy talked about the boxes and the things around us. And we can put ourselves in boxes, we can put other people in boxes, and then at the end of the day, we don't do what God has called us to do. If you are afraid of fear of man, if God says to you, go and speak to that person and testify to them, and you don't do it, then that guy doesn't hear the word of God. And, you know, maybe God sends somebody else. I don't know. The thing is, we need to do it. We need to have boldness. We need to not be intimidated by people. There's so many things in our lives that we allow that steals from us and makes us ineffective in the kingdom of God. And God really wants us to be effective in the kingdom of God. He really wants us to be on this earth and make and be a difference. Really be the salt and the light on the earth. Not just in name, just not quoting scriptures, but really making a difference on this earth. So, got Galatians 5:13 here. Because when you talk about freedom, you almost have to throw this one in. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So like a simple example is, you know, a year or so ago I read about a church where, you know, you go and afterwards you don't drink tea and coffee, you can drink brandy and stuff. You know, you can drink strong drink. I don't know, I can't remember the church name, but in any case, no, that's not very wise. Now you've taken liberty, and yes, there's liberty, but that's like foolish liberty. You're not serving one another if you're serving strong drink after church. Hmm? Do we agree?
Definitely.
Yeah, no. It's crazy. We sometimes do crazy things, and we think crazy things. And unless we tell it to somebody, unless we share it with somebody, unless there's somebody next to us that knows what we're thinking or what we're saying, sometimes we go on thinking those things for quite a while before somebody says, you know what, you can't serve strong drink after church. You know, this is really foolish. It's a really not very, sophisticated thought process. You know, if you think about the word, there's so many places where we talk about that. So, you know, sometimes we are foolish and we don't know it, and we need people around us to tell us that. So this is the part that I really want to talk about this morning. Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage or slavery. So Jesus set us free. We've talked about that. Now we are free. That is, we are free, free indeed. When we come to Christ, we are saved and we are set free. But thereafter, it is our choice. It is our choice as to how are we going to take this word of God? Are we going to spend time in it? Are we going to follow it? Or are we not going to follow it? Are we going to follow God? Are we going to really pursue Him? Or are we not going to do that? It's really our choice. God has given us free will, and we have a choice. We can choose to accept Him as Savior, but we can also choose after we've done that to serve him or not to serve him. Or when God says, you know, let's do something really difficult. Okay, you've just paid off your house. It's worth 3 million rand. And God says, sell your house and give it to that missionary. Whatever. Something hard. You know, now you can either choose to say, you know, God, I worked 20 years for this house or 40 years for this house. I'm not going to sell it and give away the money. Or you can just be obedient and just do. Because when God gives those types of instructions, there's a purpose and God will supply. It's I'm not telling you to sell your houses. Just write that in there somewhere. Not saying that. But I just mean when the difficult things come, it's so easy just to say, we're not going to do it. Because, and I don't know if you've noticed it, it's becoming more difficult. Schools are under attack. There's so many things. If you're in a workplace and you say something like abortion is murder or something, and you just say you're against abortion, it's like interesting the reactions you get from people. Or just godly morality. People are really immoral in this world. And yes, there's a lot of immorality in the church as well, unfortunately. But out in the world, it's really dark. So when you say some things, sometimes people just, you know, they persecute you. And we're getting to a point where, you know, all these agendas up in the public eye and people are trying their own agendas and darkness. It's darkness and evil across the world, not just South Africa. So when it comes, we can either have the freedom to follow Christ and follow the word, or we can be in bondage and in slavery in the sense and not be able to follow God, not to follow his instruction, not to follow his heart. So Romans 8:15, I just want to, so bondage here, slavery is many things. This can be now any, like Jesus says, sin. If you sin, you're a slave to that sin. If you're stuck in a sin, you're a slave of that sin. So there can be many things, but I'm only going to focus on one, and that is fear this morning. So I'm going to read Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So fear is one of those things that are in all of our lives. I don't think there's any of us that can say we've never feared, or we haven't feared, or we don't think about it. The devil uses fear because fear disables us. It's like the typical scenario. I read the review of Atomic Blonde. So now it was somebody saying, this is not a typical movie where the woman cannot do anything, you know, because once the lady gets a fright, she just freezes. Now, that's pretty much what fear does in our lives when it comes to the things of God too. That when we get a big fright, we're just immobilized. We do not act. It's like if God tells you, go stand up and bring your testimony in front of a couple of people, and you're too afraid to stand up, then obviously nothing will happen. So God really wants us to become to a place where we conquer our fears. And there's many fears. I've got a few there somewhere. Where did I say there? So if we look in South Africa, fear of the future. What's going to happen tomorrow? You know, you got Zuma happening. You got the economy happening. You know, there's real people. People that I know lost their jobs. They are real. I don't know if there's anybody here, but there's real economic downturn. There's real issues in the country. So there's a fear of death. In South Africa, I don't know if you're in a privileged white suburb, maybe less so. But if you live in the Cape Flats, in the gang-infested areas, people fear for their lives every single day. You talk to them, you listen to the guys on the radio. You talk to the guys. Have you been to Delft? So if you go to Delft, you look, talk to those the people living there. They live in fear. The girls cannot walk to the school almost without being interfered with. I can't remember the stats. It's just shocking stats. It's terrible times we are living in. And then we have fear of man, which is all-encompassing for some of us, because that can be fear of rejection, fear of being ashamed, fear of being embarrassed, fear of just not being accepted by somebody else because you look different or you sound different or you think different. And there's all these things, and the devil uses all these things, and then we spend more of our time on thinking about the fears and the things that can happen than actually focusing on the word and what Jesus has done for us on the cross and in the word. So there's so much. If you look at the media around us, and if you read newspapers or watch the news, it's genuinely not good news. It's bad news. The gospel is good news. News 24 is not necessarily good news. Wade van Niekerk, he ran a good 400 meter race. You know, there's a couple of good stories out there. And the Springboks won last night. I heard. Yeah. Only net. But, you know, but there's a lot of bad things happening. And we can focus. And as South Africans, that is one thing that we are not good at, is to stay positive and to not think about the negative and not go down that negative route in our thought process. If this happened, then this is going to happen, and this is happening, and then you find yourself being very negative. And that negativity is really, the root of that is fear. Because you're fearing something. You're either fearing you're going to lose your job, or you're fearing that you're going to be physically, There are people, if you look at the phobias, I did a bit of internet searches on phobias. There's like even a fear of fear. I didn't know that one. I can't remember what that is. There's actually a fear of church. I can't remember. That's a very difficult phobia. Ecclesiophobia or something like that. Fear of going to church. There's all these fears in the world, and the devil is keeping people bound because people don't go out of their house because they're afraid. They don't want to cross the street because they're afraid. There are literally thousands of people in South Africa that are struggling with these things. It's not like one or two people. It's like thousands of people. And we're in the kingdom of God where Jesus paid the price so that we can be free. So we can move. So we can do the things that God has asked us to do. If we to go and testify, lead normal lives in the sense that we're not afraid to take a chance. We're not afraid to be generous. Like in this time, economic turmoil, if God says, give some money to whatever, whoever, then you are free to give the money. You don't go in your head and make the sums and work out your budget first. Because if God says, give it, you just give it. You're not afraid. You can be free. You don't worry about the fact that you're going to lose your job. And if you lose your job, you don't worry about it because you know that God will provide. There's so many things in our current South Africa that we can focus on that is really negative. And I really feel God is saying that we should not be focusing on the negative. We must be more positive, because if we are not positive, if we don't, change our hearts, then we are very ineffective in the world and very ineffective when we pray. Because when we pray, we don't pray with faith. Because fear is the opposite of love, opposite of faith. You cannot fear and have faith. It's like the opposite. It's like doubt and faith. If you doubt, you can't doubt and have faith. There's only one guy in the Bible that came to Jesus with a son, and he says, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. See, there's a place where God comes and he helps us. But in general, if you have to believe for God to do something in a situation, and you fear and you're doubtful, but by the grace of God, you're not going to go there. If you want to, whatever it is. I'm going to read 1 John 4, 18, 19, because I just mentioned it now. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. We love him because he first loved us. This is John writing, and he says, fear involves torment. Now, obviously there are natural fears. You know what? If you're on a high building, and you're standing and look over the edge, then if you're not afraid, maybe we must pray for you, You should be afraid then. If you have to run across the N2 in the middle of the night and the cars is going like past there and you're not afraid, then you probably should, you should get some counseling, There are definitely places, and God has put that also in us, If you talk about our kids, not to jump, sometimes boys does weird things, but climb up that tree to the top and try and do something weird. But generally, we've got that fear that protects us. So there's a good thing in that fear. That's natural fear. Natural fear, that fear is not necessarily torment. You stand on the edge of the building, you look down, and you think, that's high. You know, if I fall down here, I'm going to die. You back off, and you move on. Life goes on. If you've got a fear of heights, that's something more, that's torment. Because I don't know if you suffer from fear of heights. I know a couple of people that if they stand on the chair there, that's going to be tough for them. Seriously. Now, that is torment. So that's why I'm trying to make a distinction. There are fears and things happen. You know, you drive past on the N1 and a truck just comes past you and you got a fright. You know, you're afraid for that second. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the continuous fear. So you're either afraid that you're not going to make it financially, or you're afraid that you're not good enough, or you're afraid of heights, or whatever these fears are, because what it does, it's a torment. It sucks the life out of you, and you can't do the other things. It's like a parent. You can, you know, sometimes you're worried about where your kids are and stuff, but if you just operate out of fear all the time, then you're going to give them no freedom to do anything. Then they're going to grow up in the house, you know, you're going to have a chain next to them, or to them, and wherever you go, they go. But at some point in time, you've got to cut it, and they've got to be their own human beings. But you know, understand what I'm saying? We've got to, the fear really makes us ineffective in the kingdom of God. It makes us that we don't do. If you're afraid, then you just say, we've been in this situation where we know one or two people, where somebody loses a job, but they're so afraid that they're not going to get a new job that they actually don't go out and put out their CV. So it's really difficult. You know, it's that old joke that says, if you want to win the lotto, you need to play the lotto. You know, you want to put yourself out there. So if you want to have a job, then you must tell people either that you're looking for a job, or you must put your CV out there. And that's not really what God wants us to do. God wants us to be truly free. He wants us to be able to do everything that He's asked us to do. And the other thing of a life that's sort of interesting to me is, like, especially when it comes to finances and giving and those sort of thing. And it's so interesting. Where's Paul now? I was actually thinking, he's back in the back. He talks about, you know, the more wealth you have, the more you want to, you know, the less you have, actually. The more you have, the less you have. It's so interesting that when you have little money, or communities where there's not so much wealth going around, there is way more freedom to give. Because they don't fear about tomorrow, because even though they don't believe in necessarily that God is going to supply and give to them, they know their neighbors, you know. So if they got three chickens today, they give away two. Because next week, if they need a chicken, somebody else is going to have a chicken. You know, we're in community. We're going to look after one another. So as a church, we need to get there somewhere, sometime, by God's grace, like the early church, where they had all things in common. But you know what? It's like so interesting that as soon as we have much. So if you look at somebody living in Delft, some of our congregants there, and we look at some of the other congregation members, and you look at what they give away and what we... It's like that story about Jesus with the two mites. It's not the amount that you give away. You know, it's not that... In the kingdom of God, it's never about the amount. The amount is irrelevant. It's really where your trust is. Who do you trust? Do you trust the employer? Do you trust the lotto? Do you trust God? And if you trust God, it's easy to give. It's easy to be generous. When you don't trust God, then fear and all these things get a hold of us, and we're not effective. So, yes. So I really want to say this morning, we're almost done, last scriptures really. But I really felt God saying to you, to each one of you here, is Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3 and 5. It says, "But now thus says the Lord, you created you, O Jacob, you formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. And I really feel like God is saying, maybe it links into what Nas has also been saying, or in the word, that, you know, God says He knows your name. He knows your name. He has redeemed you. You are free. You have a choice to deal with whatever fear that's in your heart and your life, whatever is keeping you back. Sometimes it's difficult to think, okay, what's a fear? What is this? But sometimes easier to think, what do you need to do, and why are you not doing it? You know, why are you not stepping out and doing whatever you need to do? At work, why are you not doing things that you, when somebody asks you to do this, or if there's 10 people and they ask, okay, who's going to do this for us? You never put up your hand. You know, why? Why do you not do that? There's something, maybe something wrong in your heart, because you think that you're not good enough. And God says you're good enough. He knows you by name. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs you have on your head, or how many hairs you've lost, like me, or how many gray hairs you've got. You know, God knows everything about us. He knows our hearts. He knows everything about us. And He says, fear not, for I've redeemed you. You belong to God. You belong to Christ. So fear and all this bondage and stuff, it's got no right in your life. And you have a choice. You can either live your life in the 6x6 cell, or you can be free. And it's your choice. It is your choice. This is my choice. It's our choice. And verse 2 goes on and says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Fear not, for I am with you. And if you think about, just want to say, so when you pass through the waters, the Bible does not say you go through dry feet. And you don't lose anything, and your shoes is not rotten after the fact. It doesn't say that. It just says, they shall not overwhelm you. So, you know, sometimes we think in life, you know, everything needs to be perfect, and nothing should be able to touch me, but life happens. Things happen, but God says whatever happens, whatever you've gone through, from where He's standing, it will never overwhelm you. You have a choice, though. Nas is saying, you have a choice. You have a choice to say, I'm going to give up, or you can make a choice to say, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow His word. I'm going to go through this. I'm going to speak to somebody else. I'm going to open up my heart. I'm going to be transparent. Because if we are transparent and open and people speak into our lives, then suddenly it's not a big issue if we're transparent about it. Secret. Everything that's done in secret has got a lot of power over us, and it controls us. So if once it's in the light, so if you are... like the fear of heights. I know that's a real fear, so let's just go on with the fear of heights. So if you are really afraid of heights and you want to, you know, you bring that to the light, maybe you're feeling, you know, very often we feel stupid and embarrassed about the things we fear. But you know what? As we sit here, we all have fears. It's just different. Some of it is not as debilitating and makes us as ineffective, and some things we really need to deal with. That really impacts our lives and makes us ineffective in the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is, and that's why I also read right in the beginning, there's no condemnation. So when the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, all we have to do is go to God and say, Father, forgive me. Please help me. Please deliver me. And He forgives and He delivers and He heals. It's really not, God doesn't condemn us at all. I wanted to read Joshua as well, but I'm just going to refer to Joshua 1:9, where it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, we all know that scripture. And like Jesus was saying, abide in my word. Do you know, just before that in verse 7, He says, do not let the law meditate on it day and night. He's saying to David, meditate on the law day and night. Think about it. Do it. Do everything. And then He says, do not be afraid, because I'm with you. Very much what Jesus was saying. Abide in me. Abide in my word. And abide there means both things. Thinking about it. So reading it, thinking about it, but also doing it. Applying it in our lives. And then we are free. And if we follow those principles, it's not a... You know, it's not like a tick box. You say you've done this and you tick a three lines. But the reality is life is a journey. And today something comes up and it's a big challenge for us. And it makes us fear. But then we have to deal with that. Next week, maybe something else that we fear. And then we have to deal with that again. We're just human. We are growing and situations change week by week, day by day sometimes. You've got teenagers hours by hour. So I've got three teenagers. So well, we've got three. So you know what? But the thing is, God really wants us to be free. God wants us to be free. And this morning the question is really, how free are we? How free are you? How free am I? I am. So I've been thinking of it a bit longer than you have. But it's something that God has been speaking to me for about 3-4 weeks now. So what are the things that makes me not do what I should be doing? And most of those are rooted in fears. Because I'm afraid I'm not going to be good enough at that, or I'm afraid what people are going to think, or whatever. Those are the things that generally stop us from doing what we should be doing. And just following what the Holy Spirit is saying. Or be generous when it comes to generosity. Are we able to give? Are we able to give freely? Can we actually give more than what we, you know, do we have to calculate and do a budget every time God says give something? Or can we just, do we have that freedom where we can just know that God is going to look after us? So if you're, this morning, if you're crippled by fear in any way, or you just feel there's a blockage, so you want to do something and you know something is stopping you, then, you know, it's a good thing to come and pray, to pray with somebody else around that. Because God wants you to be free, each one of you. He doesn't want you to hold back. He wants us to run the race full out. And if you look at the world out there, the world needs salvation. And you know what? They watch us. They watch us. And every time that God does things in our life, that's a testimony. And people around us, they may not like you. They may not like me. But they see when God does things in our lives and we change and we grow. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to grow. Not just, did you know that? God just not just wants you to grow spiritually. He wants you to grow in maturity as a human being too. Because the two is linked. You know, it's great to be spiritually mature at 50. But if you're the maturity of a 5-year-old, you're not potentially not going to do that much in the kingdom of God. You know what? You may know a lot of things, but you're not going to impress a lot of people in the sense. You're not going to really be able to communicate, you know, if you just... Right, if you got the maturity of a 5-year-old. So every time that something doesn't go your way, you literally throw your toys out of the cart. You know, people are not going to really receive that well from you. So God wants us to grow in our just in our normal life and maturity, as well as in our spiritual lives and emotionally. Okay, I think I've said everything that I wanted to say. So let's just pray. Father God, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came down to earth to die for us on the cross, Lord, so that we can be free, Lord God. Free from your wrath, Lord God, and we can enter your presence, Lord God, because of the cross, Lord God. We don't have to be afraid, Lord God, to come to you, Lord God. We can run to you, Lord God, like this, the image, Lord God, of the lost son, Lord God, that comes to his dad. We can come and we can run to you, Lord God, even if we are full and dirty, Lord God, and we smell like old pigs, Lord God, and old dirty pigs, Lord God. We can come to you, Father God, and we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to feel guilt, Lord God. We can just enter your presence, Lord God, as we are, Lord God. And thank you for that privilege, Father God. And thank you, Lord, that you've done that, Lord God, so that we can have a relationship with you, Lord God, and that we can have freedom in our relationship with you, Father God, and that we can hear your voice. Thank you, Father, that we can hear your voice. Holy Spirit, that we can hear you speak, Lord God. And Lord God, when it comes to fear and, you know, the things that are holding us back in life, Lord God, like Paul is writing to the Galatians, Lord, that we should not allow and be bonded again, Lord God, that we should not go back into slavery from where you've set us free, Father. And Holy Spirit, I pray this morning, Lord, that you will show us, Lord God, in each of our lives, Lord God, where we are allowing things, Lord God, to put us into slavery, into bondage, Lord, so that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing in your kingdom, Father God, and we are ineffective, Lord God, in testifying, in just, you know, just walking our the walk with you, Lord God, and just bringing people to the kingdom of God, Lord God. And yeah, Father, thank you, Lord God, that you say in your word, Lord God, that you are with us, Lord God, always, Father. And whether we are in the waters, Lord God, or in the fire, wherever we go, Father, and thank you, Lord, that for each one as we sit here, Lord God, that you are with us, Lord, that you know our hearts, Lord God. You know everything that's going on in our lives, Father God. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, for a greater transparency, Lord God, and just the way that we portray ourselves, Lord God. Lord, that we will not be hypocrites and say everything is fine, Lord God, when it's not, Lord. Yeah, Lord, that we be real, Lord God, because you know, everything, all the impressions and the things we make, Lord God, and we don't take that to heaven, Lord God. We, you know, all the things, Lord God, we're so worried about so many things, Father, and it has no eternal value, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord, through your Spirit, Lord God, that you will help us, Lord God, to distinguish what is earthly, Lord God, and what is eternal, Lord God, what is spiritual, Lord God, what is divine, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord God, and like Paul is also writing Galatians 1, Lord God, that we, whatever we do, all the liberty and the freedom we have, Lord God, we will use that to serve one another, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, that we be willing, Lord God, to help, Lord God, others in the congregation, in the household of faith, Lord God, and also of those outside the household of faith, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you, Father, that we can do everything that you've called us to do, Lord God, because your grace is enough, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.